All right, folks, thanks for showing up this morning. I can't believe we almost have the whole group here. They're all very brave individuals. All right, well, we've taken attendance. I'm supposed to introduce myself, if you don't know. My name's Ron Campbell. This is my wife, Doris.
Hi.
Hello. We've been coming here for a long time.
1984,
yep. Just about the same time your pastor started coming here. Because we brought him, he was about this big.
I was like, yeah.
Morning. What's your name?
Matthew.
Oh, he was, you already checked.
Oh, I got him? Okay, very good. All right, so.
Who's your son? Jesus.
I don't think so. My son's pregnant. He's our middle child. Suffers from middle child syndrome. But we're very proud of him as well as the other two. Yeah, his older sister and his younger sister. So, but anyway, we've been coming here since 1984. I've been initially a deacon and now an elder. Probably 30 plus years here, so we kind of know the ropes around here, but it's nice to have everybody here. I did want to mention as well that as an elder, our names are always in the bulletin, so anybody ever needs to talk to an elder, just look us up in the bulletin and give us a ring. So So let's get started today. Today is week two, we're together in mission, and today's topic is covenant relationship. So you hear a lot about covenant in the Bible, and you hear about it in legal terms as well, but it's kind of a binding relationship. So that's what we try to go after. Here we want to be bound to the Lord, and as you become members, you become bound to other members in the church, which is great for unity. So the covenant relationship in the world or in the Bible is the same as having a covenant relationship with other church members. You're binding yourself to one another, like I said. If you're considering a covenant relationship with somebody, it's wise to get to know that person. It's the same way you're kind of doing your due diligence, another legal term. You're checking us out, basically, which is a good thing. So it's good that you're here, and we'll try to be as open and honest and let you know where we stand. And that's, you need to be settled in your heart that you're in agreement with what we're in agreement with. So so we want to make sure we're compatible. Just as in a marriage, that's a covenant relationship. You want to make sure that you're compatible with your partner. So we think that's important. And today's topic is kind of on who we are, what our values are, what are our core values. And what we mean by core values, the core is kind of the main thing, or the main things, I should say. Different ideas, concepts, beliefs, principles, statutes, things like that. Is kind of an example. If you think of an apple's got skin, it's got the meat, it's got the core, and they're all important. All those different things are important. But without the core, you don't have the seeds, so it can't reproduce and produce more fruit. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're meeting, we're becoming a core group with core principles, and we're trying to reproduce that and provide more fruit for each other and for the world, because that's what it's all about. We're supposed to be ministering to the world. So, but it's good that you're all here to learn about those things. I was also thinking that another idea of core is with physical fitness these days, they're always talking about you have to strengthen your core, you know. And that's true, you know. Like, I have back problems. If I could get myself to strengthen my core, I'd probably have less back problems. So, you know, when we become strong as a core in the church, it only strengthens the church. So that's a good principle. Okay, core values, the core values we endeavor to live by are what drive our local church's ministry here at Freedom Church. Ministry needs values to drive it, or there's no direction and no parameters to evaluate it. We believe that the gospel is the gospel. And, you know, it's important to have, to realize that that is the ultimate truth. Okay, so I find, you know, in the world these days, you know, the truth has become kind of this
relative.
Yeah, nebulous thing.
My truth, people say.
Right. So, but really, when you think about it, if one person has my truth and another person has my truth and another person, there is no truth. So you need to have that absolute truth. Okay? So let's take a look at some of our core values. There's many core values, but we're going to talk about a handful of them here today. I guess we got, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them. So in any case, our core values here at Freedom, these are some of the values which we endeavor to live by in our ministry. The first being godly pursuit. We value the pursuit of Christ above all this world has to offer. In the Bible, David's one thing was he wanted to be in the presence of God. Paul's one thing in life was to know Jesus Christ in his fullness. We recognize that Jesus is the supreme value in all the universe. He's the pearl of great price. He's our treasure, and we want to know Jesus more. Our desire here at Freedom is to know Christ and to make him known. And how do you know Christ? Or how do you get to know Christ? You need to pursue him. It's the same with anything. If you're going to be an engineer in college, you just don't become an engineer. You got to pursue that. You got to go after it, study it. And it's the same with, you know, what we believe about with Christ. You need to go study it, and you need to pursue him in a personal way. And there are plenty of scriptures here that we're not going to go through them, but that's the basis of, you know, where we're coming from. So it would be good to go home and reference those scriptures as well, to make sure that we're telling you what the Bible's telling you. We don't expect anybody to believe what man has to say. You've got to go home and do your homework and make sure that you know what the Word has to say, and that's the important thing. All right, the second one we're going to talk about is godly influence. We value God's grace in our lives. It gives us the ability to influence the world around us. As I mentioned before, I mean, our job as Christians is to be an influence. We're supposed to have a testimony, both verbally and, you know, physically, that is pleasing to the Lord. And, you know, it's something that you want to have. You want to have what people would say, boy, there's something different about that person. You know, what is it about that person that's different? And then, you know, be able to influence them for the things of the Lord. I mean, we're not trying to, you know, we're not trying to strong arm people. We're not trying to make ourselves look better than other people, because that's not what it's about. We want to influence them in a way that's, you know, according to the Word of God, and hopefully they can make their own decision as to, you know, coming to know Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not religion. It's about relationship. It's our relation, our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate goal.
The only Jesus the world sees is through us.
Right.
You know, and
can we show Jesus' love to those around us? That's the question.
Right.
And if his love is in us, then we do develop that love for other people.
And, you know, it's sad to say, but I'm from a generation that Christianity was commonplace. Yeah. You know, grew up, it was in the household. Our family wasn't born again. You know, not the ultimate, you know, Christian family, but we were good, had a good Christian influence. Grew up and, you know, went to Sunday school, did all that, learned all the stories. But these days, there's so many people that have no idea. You mentioned something about Moses from the Bible, and they're like,
who?
Yeah. I mean,
who Billy Graham is.
Yeah.
Somebody at work didn't even know who Billy Graham was. They're like, really?
So it's kind of shocking, but like Doris said, we might be the only person that reflects Jesus Christ in somebody's, you know, to somebody else. So it's important. It puts a little pressure on us. I mean, we've got to be on top of our game, you know. And it seems like every time you slip,
right,
you know, yeah, it's like, I thought you were a Christian, you know.
And that's when they know all about theology. Wait a minute, you're not supposed to act like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's right.
But
anyway, we can only do our best, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, that's why the Lord's given us grace, because we aren't gonna win every time. We're gonna mess up.
But it speaks as loudly if we're willing to admit that we've done wrong, mm-hmm, and ask, mm-hmm, Him to forgive us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That speaks as loudly as a perfect.
Right. 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 And, you know, and it shows a bit of humanity there and relatability, because if somebody is quote unquote perfect all the time, then everybody thinks you're kind of weird, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, in any case, God's grace is amazing. Grace is the touch of God on our lives, and when God is touching our lives, amazing things happen in the world. We want any of God's favor that is on our lives to spill out onto the world around us. His grace empowers and enables us to live and to make a difference in our families, in our church, in our communities, and around the world. That's another thing I can remember hearing for years and years and years. You know, you need to fill yourself up with the things of God, not so that you become full, but so that your vessel, you, overflow with whatever that is, and it spills out over into your family, into the community. So, all right. Number three would be godly leadership. We here at Freedom value Jesus' servant leadership and the development of these kinds of leaders. Servant leadership is the template Jesus laid down for us to follow and the way the church grows. I mean, Jesus was the ultimate leader, and he was the ultimate servant while doing it. So it's important that we do our part and serve as the Lord calls us to serve. And I think people tend to respect that in a leader. Like you see, you know, Jesus he went and did all sorts of things that was a servant to his disciples and to the people around him, washing the disciples' feet and all that. He expects the same from us. And you see that in business. I mean, you can have a leader that is just authoritarian and lays down the law, or you can have a leader that's taking care of his employees and serving them so that they can do their jobs properly. Or in the military, you get the guy that orders you into battle and then hides in a bunker, or you got the guy that orders you into battle with him.
Yeah.
You know, so the people respect those kind of people that serve and walk with you as they're, mm-hmm, as they're being leaders. So that's what we try to develop in everybody. In some capacity, everybody is a leader. I mean, I've been a deacon and an elder for all those years. Like I said, I don't consider myself. One of my characteristics isn't necessarily being a leader, but I am. I've been, you know, put in this position, and I walk that out to where I, you know, I tried to do my best to lead. And but that's, you know, every one of us has got the same kind of responsibility on our lives to lead, you know, ourselves, you know, lead your spouse, your children, people around you, co-workers, you know, people in church. So we try to develop that in everybody. That's why we've had all these programs, which I'm going to forget the name of right now.
Motion.
Very good, thanks. you know, and that is, I mean, I've been coming here a long time, and when we had the first motion group and there was like 100 people there, I'm like, I don't believe this. This is awesome. You know, the people really got into it and you know, accepted it and wanted to, and it's been phenomenal for this particular church, things like that, to see people grabbing a hold of things and you know, what can I do? How can I serve? You know, you don't know what a burden it is on especially the pastor, because everybody is going to him, you know, which it's understandable, but really the church is us. It's not him. You know, this isn't his church. This is the Lord's church, but we're all a part of it. And if we don't step up and do certain things, it just kind of falls apart. So I appreciate, I mean, this is a huge group. This is awesome. You know, you don't know how this makes us feel as leaders to see this many people that are interested in knowing what we're about and potentially joining the church. So thank you so much. Again, in order to become leaders, we're big on discipleship, and that's the vehicle in which leaders are formed. Jesus illustrated this with the 12 disciples and has passed the command along for the church to make disciples. So that's what our intention as leadership in the church is, to make you all disciples. So, but that's a good thing. The best leader is a good follower. In order for us to be discipled into good leaders, we need to be the best followers of Jesus Christ. So that's our aim here. The next one is godly teamwork, which kind of goes along with the same idea of godly leadership. I mean, we have the leadership and we create a team, and that's what we're looking for. We value teamwork together in Christ to accomplish God's mission here on this earth. We aspire to accomplish God's mission for us together by the gifts and the resources God provides. We believe we are better together. Craig says that all the time. We're better together. We're better together. And it's true. I mean, if it was just a handful of people, things don't go that far. You can't extend the gospel without the help of other people. Yeah. Again, the same thing with the new building and the north side, Freedom North. That's a, you know, we're looking at this building became available. The leadership is looking at this building that became available, and what Craig was believing the Lord was telling him that we needed to do. But then it's like, wow, we got to staff this thing. We got to make it functional from a financial standpoint and all this. And the people that have stepped up to run the church, you know, out there, just a handful of, you know, ordinary people that decided that they wanted to be plugged in there and minister to people in the north end of town. And it just took off, you know. And Craig's like, you know, he's still involved. Obviously, he's preaching out there and ahead of everything. But he's so appreciative of the fact that everybody has jumped in and really.
The other thing is to remember, as a team, everybody has their giftings, you know. And like, I look at some people who like just love people so much, they'll send a card to everybody who's sick or go and visit them. I mean, all those little things create that unity and the ability of the body to minister. So it can be, you might think, oh, I don't have any gifts, or what can I do? There are so many things that you just don't realize your giftings are important. You know?
Right. Absolutely. It's the whole idea of the analogy of the body, the physical body, compared to the body of Christ. You've got hands, you've got feet, you've got eyes, you've got ears, you know, you've got all these different people who are different parts of the body, and really the body doesn't function well if you leave out two or three of them. I mean, you know, try to have decent balance if you don't have any toes, you know. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, and you think, well, you know, I'm nothing. Well, maybe you're just a little toe, but you know what? You're needed. So it's the whole idea of body ministry. Okay? If anybody has any questions before, now that I'm halfway through, just raise your hand. We'll try to answer them as best as we can. All right, so that's godly teamwork. Next one is number 5, godly generations. We value people in every season of life represented in the generation we now live, as well as generations to come. We are committed to serving the present and the upcoming generations in order to fulfill our God-given mission. Our hope and desire is to minister effectively to every generation to establish a flow between age-appropriate ministries in the church. And in Ephesians 3:20-21, it says, we aim to honor the past as well as press on for the future. Actually, that's Psalm 145:4. So, depending on how long you've been here and how much you've been involved, if you have kids and all that kind of stuff, you'll realize that it's important to us as a leadership of the church to minister to each portion. I mean, we've got our age people, which, you know, you can minister to at the service on a Sunday morning or other different services that we do have. But the children's and the youth ministry have been huge here for many years. And you'll see that, if you're not already aware, I mean, our youth ministry is huge compared to, I mean, churches twice our size have less kids in the youth ministry. And these kids are, they're not just coming because mom and dad said they got to go, and, you know, and they want to go. In fact, yeah, absolutely, which, you know, I mean, what? You know, I mean, when our kids were younger, you know, we used to have Wednesday night services as well. And every once in a while, you know, you get home from work and you eat dinner, it's like, do I really want to go to Wednesday night service? And the kids, we got to go, you know. So, I mean, they'd be dragging us to church, you know. You know, so, and, you know, I've got 3 kids, the youngest being 27, oldest is 40. All serving the Lord in one manner or another. And it's through, I firmly believe, the grace of God, number one, but it's through the different ministries that they participated in while coming here. So if you've got kids.
I really think our kids went that way because they were taught here to have a relationship with Jesus. It wasn't just all legalistic rules like a lot of churches are.
Yeah.
They were taught to have that personal relationship, and that's where it made a difference.
Right, absolutely. Like I said, it's all about the personal relationship. So,
all starts at home.
Yeah. You know, and it, believe me, I mean, Doris and I aren't perfect.
No.
And,
amen.
What do you mean? You don't have to agree with me. But, you know, and I, to be honest, I even counseled my son, my pastor, not to go into ministry.
He was defiant.
No, he wasn't defiant. He was obedient. He was listening to his other father, you know. And the only reason why I suggested maybe you should think about something else was because I knew the kind of pressure that's on a pastor. You know, and when Wayne and Sharon came to Doris and I first and said, we're thinking about making you an elder, and we're thinking about asking Craig to come on as associate pastor. And we're like, oh, no, 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 no. He's too young, because he was 25.
Yeah.
You know, at the time. So, and I'm thinking, oh, 23. Man, 23?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Kind of like your associate pastor here.
That's right.
He was going to school. He wanted to be a lawyer. So mm-hmm. And he said he was going to take care of us in our old age.
Hey, Craig. Craig, you're toast.
I do have a around me. I don't care Walmart.
So, anyway. We do like to take care of the generation. We don't ignore the older generation either. Some have a hard time with music and loudness and things like that, you know, and we've tried to. I mean, you don't know what the sound people have done to try to mitigate the problem with, you know, things being too loud or,
it's a big room.
Oh my gosh, they study the science of acoustics, and I mean they're into it, you know, trying to make it good for everybody else. But anyway, we do our best to try to take care of everybody. Sounds like we're practicing out there now. So I better step it up a little. Number six, godly relevance. This is kind of an interesting one. We value being appropriately relevant to our culture without going beyond Jesus' word and our creative and innovative extension of the gospel. All right. In other words, we desire to be appropriately relevant to our culture without going beyond the bounds of Holy Scripture. We can't be afraid of changes in culture. I don't know, did they hand out, they used to have a sheet of different things from like 100 years ago in culture and how different it is now. I mean, things, you know, obviously like 100 years ago, telephones, you know, and now it's like, I mean, I still don't have a smartphone. This is my wife's. You know, I think a phone is something you dial people up. You don't need it for anything besides talking to somebody. But now it's a stinking computer. Anyway, you know, things are... Yeah, I get laughed at from my old computer stuff because I'd still be using Windows 97 or something. Right, but anyway.
You've got mail.
Yeah, and back then I didn't because I didn't have email. So, we need to be relevant, but that isn't to say we're not going to change what the word of God says to make it fit present day culture. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take what the word says and develop that into relevant, you know, ways of teaching and ministering and things like that. I mean, it's sad, but I look at like my mom, 92 years old, the church that she attends is basically dying. I mean, it's people that, there's probably not anybody under 60 years old that goes to the church, and they don't bring new people in because the new people can't relate. The young people can't relate, you know. So we do our best. I mean, that's why in years recent past we've had all this stuff with video. We try to keep the music somewhat fresh. Because people relate to that, you know, and if you can't relate, I got visions of, well, my mother has visions of me as a teenager slouched in a wooden pew, going, you know, literally. I mean, that was me, and that was because the church we went to at the time was boring, you know, and I might admit it didn't really preach the word. You know, so anyway, we've tried to be relevant, and we're going to be relevant right up to the point where we would have to change things in the word, and we're not going there. So, so that's that. Number seven, godly living. This is where the rubber meets the road. We value living according to Jesus Christ's example, His words, and the Holy Spirit He has given us to empower us to live godly lives. And I hope everybody knows that without the Holy Spirit, there's just no way. And we can't do it on our own. I mean, you can be a Billy Graham kind of on the scale, and without God's grace on our lives and his influence, we can't do it. We're born sinners. We'll always be sinners. That's why we're not better than the people out in the world, you know, in mainstream society. We're saved, but we've got to, you know, we're saved by grace, and we can't do it without God's power. We don't do anything in our own power. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, our hope and our aim is to glorify Christ in every area of our lives. Not only to glorify him, but to enjoy him, because he's is man's chief end. Excuse me. We don't do anything out of bounds in our relationship with Jesus. Many times we so individualize our faith that we forget that Christ's intention was that we are to be one, together in mission. As a local church, it is our endeavor to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As we endeavor to live according to these values, our goal is to have Christ conform us to his image. These biblical values drive the mission of our local church. So again, it's not us. We endeavor to live according to the values that are in the world, but it's Christ living through us that enables us to do these things in an effective way. All right, well, next week's class is going to be about covenant mission. We're not just here to come to church and get our needs met, but we're here because Christ called us to his worldwide mission of extending the gospel. And it falls on each and every one of us to go there, to extend the gospel. All right.
We have connection points.
Yep. Okay, the talking points. Let me just read the scripture that they have about that. We'll take a quick look at the scripture, and then we'll go into the talking points. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Again, this idea of community and becoming a part of the church. The four connection points. Number one, we are fellow citizens. We are now living for a kingdom greater than America. We live for God's kingdom. If we're not working together as God's citizens to bring his glory, his presence, his gospel to the world, then we are not really fulfilling what we have been called to do. And each of us has that calling. Number two, we are in God's family. If we're not living as a family in our care for one another, time spent with one another, sharpening one another, instructing one another, then what kind of family are we? Kind of the same as, this dysfunctional family that you see a lot of today, you know. Nobody's communicating and nobody even eats together. You know, but if they do, they're on the phone checking their stuff. So we need to become a functional family in the Lord. And that's what God's plan has always been. And excuse me while I take another thing here because I don't have any disease. I have a tickle in my throat. We are built on the foundation, which is number three. It's easy to say that Christ is our foundation, but are our lives truly built on him? That is the question. Or do we take some of the principles we like and insert those into our lives at the exclusion of others? Again, that's the same thing about being relevant. We don't we don't do that. We take everything that the Bible has to say and try to incorporate that into our lives. We can't pick and choose, and that's what you see in the world today is, you know, they'll believe, even mainstream churches, we believe this, but we don't believe that, and it's clearly in the Word that is the case. So, but anyway, I don't know how they can justify that, but we aren't going to do it that way. And lastly, we are fitted together. Are we living life together? We are fitted together, and if we are fitted together, then what about that person on the other side of the church that you might not get along with or still have issues with? How are we involved with others in our local community of believers here at Freedom? You know, people are people. We're not going to, not everybody's going to see eye to eye, but it's our job to be in unity with one another. And that's what the parameters of the word say. So, anyway, that's all I've got for today. Thank you so much for coming and being attentive and actually not going all glassy-eyed and everything on me. So, I appreciate that. And have a great morning in service this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.